Blog Talk Radio.
Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes the circle whole. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And in the presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I see aspiring to be free. And when I call to thee and come on bended knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Within and without, above and below, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. Without and within, below and above, yeah, yeah. East, west, north and south, I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Presence of my Lord of light and love, everything I find in tune with the divine. And here we stand in line, waiting for some sacred sign. But to find the balance is the purpose of this time. Restore the balance of the universal mind. And I am the light within your soul. In the essence of truth and right, love makes a circle whole. And when I call to thee and come on bending knee, surrender to the all-pervading light and love. Reflections of the one surrounding me with love. For to find the balance is the purpose of this time. To restore the balance of the universal mind. And I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Way of the Most High. Om
Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. Om Shabbat Shalom, Holy Angel of the Most High. Om Shabbat Shalom, I sense your presence. I sense your presence.
Thank you for joining me here tonight on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. My name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George, and I'm your hostess this evening. The music you were listening to there at the beginning of your show, of the show here, is I Sense Your Presence. It's by Shemshai. And I just want to say welcome back to those who are returning and who are joining us for the first time. So it's great to have you here. And here at Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, I look at the different ways that compassion exists in our lives, how to remove our blocks, resistances, frustrations, and more. Some weeks I will be discussing different aspects of how compassion is in our lives, how it affects our life, and the different areas of compassion. Some weeks I'm also doing more exercises and practical implementations, and many times, like tonight, I've got great guests on the show so that you can learn more about how their work and how other things complement compassion. I highlight also different musical artists along the way. This year I've had Grammy nominees Stephen Halpern and Peter Cater on the show, and looking forward to bringing some more great musical artists on next year as well. I focus also in my own work on helping people find and use compassion in their everyday lives. I've created the Genesis Clearing Statement, which some of you may have experienced on previous shows. And if you missed it, there's actually a great show where Kevin Baird, one of our other hosts here on the network, interviewed me before I started up my own show. And he did a great interview where we went over that work, and you can listen to that archive and catch that. I've authored 4 books. The most recent ones are You, Me, Life, Dreams, and its companion workbook, and then my first 2 books, Activating Compassion and its companion workbook. In addition, I've created the Compassion Tour, which is a multi-state nationwide tour, including workshops, retreats, seminars, book signings, fundraising events, and I'm already working on a 2014 tour. You can follow the events available to register for on the Compassion Tour at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And there's also an option there for gifting the tour. So if you're unable to attend it, then, you know, and you want to help me get around to the fundraisers, things like that, you're more than welcome to jump in and gift whatever amount you choose to do. Just a reminder, if you enjoy the show this evening, make sure that you tell your friends, your family, share it with all those great social media connections that you have out there, because you just never know who's going to resonate with what we're talking about tonight and who might benefit from what we've got going on and what our guest has to share with us. So definitely share the show. They can always come back to this very same link, the same one you used to get into it, and then listen to it in the archives at their convenience, and that's available right after the show is over. And they can also go on to my Activating Compassion Facebook page, which is facebook.com/activatingcompassion/notes, or they can also go on to my website at www.jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. And before we get started this evening, as those of you that have listened before, you know that I like to delve into 72 names of God, Technology for the Soul. It's by Yehuda Berg. And I like to just kind of randomly open up here because it's always fun when we do that, right? You get those random messages, but somehow they always seem to apply to what we're doing. And then, by the way, what I also do is this, whatever our message is for the week, it gets posted on my website, on my page, on the Main Street Universe tab. And so you can always go back and read it for yourself during the week as well. So let's see what Yehuda has here. And tonight, the name of God we're dealing with is long-range vision. And his message on this is, how many times have we thought, I should have seen it coming? Our lives are often full of heartache and problems simply because we fail to really see the situation confronting us. But suppose we could foresee all of the consequences of the future right now. And the insight he provides on this is, Kabbalah teaches that 10 curtains are implanted in our consciousness, limiting our ability to perceive the true reality. As a result, we fail to judge situations accurately. We may get ourselves involved in a relationship, confident that we've made the right decision, but it turns out to be the worst mistake of our life. Business opportunities that appear lucrative at the outset become financial black holes. Likewise, situations that initially appear hopeless can be blessings in disguise. Lacking the ability to see the long-term consequences of short-term decisions, we have a maddening tendency toward misjudgment. Before entering into a marriage, a business partnership, or any new venture, we can utilize this name to ascertain whether trouble awaits us 10 to 15 years down the road. And the meditation that Yehuda provides with this is, you have the power of clear vision and foresight in every part of your life. The blindfolds are removed. You grasp the cause and effect relationship that governs all reality. Your life choices and actions are motivated by ultimate results, not momentary illusions. You see more through your eyes. You perceive more through your mind's eye. You feel more through your intuition. And the way that this name is pronounced, the common name, of course, or the common phrase for this name is long-range vision. And then the name is pronounced Hey Resh Yud. Hey Resh Yud. So that's our message from the 72 Names of God from Yehuda. Really love where that's at. And it's an interesting thing that if we really learn how to see a situation, that we can definitely have that foresight. We can definitely see where it's going to lead us in the direction. It's just a lot of times we don't take that time to look that deeply into something. Now, a lot of us are excited about Halloween. I know Halloween is one of my favorite times of year for a lot of different reasons. It's just kind of a renewal and the shift of the seasons that's happening and the leaves that are there that are falling on the ground and all the colors around. It's just gorgeous. And a lot of people, though, when they think of Halloween, they're really fascinated with the thoughts of ghosts and other beings that may choose to walk this earth while the veils are thin. Now, from children onward, many of us have been drawn to the unknown, the unseen, and the ghost stories that go with them. And sometimes when we think about ghosts, they're portrayed as scary and mean, and others are very friendly and lonely, and yet others, you know, we just often don't really delve into what a ghost is all about. And we're going to be taking a look a bit at that tonight. And there's many thoughts and theories on ghosts, ranging from very scientific to very esoteric. Mediums, psychics, and other intuitives are often quite in tune with their presence and nature, and priests and shamans and ghost chasers have been called to provide exorcisms and evaluate what is happening where they are. And Tina Irwin is somewhat of an expert when it comes to ghosts, and not in the way of others. She has done extensive research and delved into looking at those that have not crossed over, and her work even led her to write ghost stories from the ghost's point of view. I love this concept of looking at things from their perspective, as it sheds a whole new light into things, and it raises some very good questions, such as, what happens when somebody passes on? What happens when they don't move on? Is it good for them to be lingering around us and the earth, even if they're not harming anyone? Now, many people actually enjoy their presence and encourage them to stay. And however, what if encouraging them to stay was hurting them and the planetary vibration of our earth? Many feel that as long as they aren't doing any harm, let them be here. However, this hands-off approach may not be what's needed in the situation. Have you ever stopped to think that they may be lost, confused, misplaced, or afraid? I grew up in a house that was haunted, and I certainly wish I had learned the crossing over prayer when I lived there. As an empath with several other intuitive gifts, even these ghosts provided some chilling scenes to me. They were trapped, angry, and still trying to carry out their life without their bodies. Take some time to think about, what are your experiences with ghosts? What do you think might be happening for them? And have you ever wondered what to do about them? This week, our guest focuses on a component of compassion that is related to the aspect in my books of making a difference. This reminds us to be aware and learn to take advantage of opportunities to be of service, even if they are not on the same plane of existence as you are. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, I'm going to have Tina Irwin with us. She will be sharing her work on ghost stories from the ghost point of view. The song I have for you during our break is called A Walk in Epping Forest. It's by Claire Hedin. And if you'd like to find out more about Claire's work, you can certainly do so on her website, which is www.clairehedin.com, and that's clarehedin.com. And Claire was actually on our show at the very end of last year. If you'd like to check out the interview I did with her and learn more about the music that she does, you can certainly do so in that archive. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Through Epping Forest. So there I go, walking through the forest of my youth. My feet go one, planted in front of the other, walking on the pathway, covered in leaves, different colors, different stages of decay, of brittleness, subtlety, suppleness, fern and bracken, interwoven, different vegetations, talking to each other, nestling amongst each other, intertwining amongst each other. And as I look up to the forest of the trees above, the tall, tall trunks reaching to the sky, to the sun, to the rain, everything has its place. The sunlight is dappled across the leaves, across the ground, across my face, my hair. And as I walk, I feel the forest wrapping itself around me and at the same time opening itself up for me. And we are one. As I walk, it walks with me. As I move, it moves. One expressing the other, connected. And then comes the breeze. The leaves rustle. They bend. Constantly shimmering in the sunlight. Creatures, the little animals, the little insects, everything. So populated. So busy, so silent, so loud. Movement, movement, movement. So graceful, this movement is so graceful. This earth is so beautiful. It's so alive. Constantly dying, regenerating, constant, constant motion, cycles of being. And I'm in that. I'm a part of that. Not from it. So beautiful.
Welcome back. You are listening to Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour, and my name is Jessie Ann Nichols-George. I am your hostess this evening, and you were just listening to a song by Claire Hedin called A Walk in Epping Forest, And again, if you'd like to find out about Clara's work, you can certainly do so on her website at www.clarehedin.com. And again, that's clarehedin.com. And I'd like to bring on my guest tonight. Her name is Tina Irwin. She's a former Navy officer, now an author of several books, and she has studied with the Edgar Cayce Institute and provides workshops through Cayce's Association for Research and Enlightenment. She provides a focus on helping to understand why metaphysical things work the way they do and the things that we experience as souls on Earth. Tina has studied the spiritual side of life for many years, gaining insight into the interpersonal relationships at the heart of everyday living. Her writing comes from an intense desire to know and understand the unseen world of action and reaction, combined with a sincere desire to share this understanding with other knowledge seekers. And we look at her work with Ghost and her book, Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View. You can also learn more about her work at www.tinairwin.com, and that is at the bottom of our show description there. Tina, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on Activating Compassion tonight, and I definitely appreciate you giving your time to us.
Oh, you're very welcome. I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah, and some of you may have remembered I did have Tina on earlier in the year. We did a show with her, and it was related to karma, so that's another piece of her work there. And if you missed that, I certainly encourage that you go back and take a look at that show, listen to it in the archives, because it was really great taking a look at how karma works in our life. But tonight we're looking at those ghost stories. And, Tina, I'm going to let you start off by sharing a little bit about your background, what got you into this work of dealing with ghosts.
Well, thank you. It is always a pleasure to get to share these concepts. And I'm like everybody else, I was always interested in ghostly things. And then I discovered over several years that I had some level of psychic ability and I could sense their presence. And things really began to escalate for me when, as a very pregnant lieutenant, we moved to a very haunted house in Charleston, South Carolina. However, that house was only 18 months old. It wasn't some old Charleston antebellum mansion. It was a very modern 18-month-old house, and I didn't, you know, there really hadn't been that much there before. But I simply was not fully aware of what you would call predecessor energy, and that is the energy of people, places, and things that have occupied a space before you got there or a builder built a house. And so my 18-month-old house was very haunted. I eventually came to know that my entire neighborhood was very haunted. So I moved into this house, and I started hearing footsteps above my head, and I didn't know what that was. And my husband was at sea, and I was by myself, and I didn't know anybody in Charleston. I mean, we had just moved there from Italy. It was so completely unnerving. I remember laying there in this empty, echoey house thinking, there's a ghost in this house. I have no idea what to do. And that pretty much launched me into a desire to know what to do, to figure this out, to have some way of understanding what was actually happening to me, what was happening to our house and why. The ghost that I'm trying to deal with is such a difficult ghost that he steals things. Things vanish. I had my son's shoes disappeared. A contact lens disappeared. A diamond earring vanished. A postcard vanished. My wallet vanished. And we didn't ever find those things. So I found out from real estate agents that the old Archdale Plantation was considered among the most haunted places in Charleston. Of course, everything in Charleston's haunted, so that's, you know, kind of goes without saying. But this neighborhood was especially haunted. And we found out how old it was and how many things had been there and that it was a plantation and the 1700s and, you know, all the things that had happened. And then I discovered that my neighbors had haunted houses. So consequently, because of that, I contacted the Duke University Parapsychology Division and tried to get some help. How do you make a ghost go away? And I tried a lot of things, and I am here to tell you sage does not work. You cannot just burn a little sage and hope your ghost will go away. It does not work.
No.
You can't just ask the ghost to leave. You can't sprinkle some salt in the corners and say a prayer and ask the ghost to leave. Exorcisms do not work. I mean, I can do a dissertation on what doesn't work, but no one could tell me what does work to get rid of a ghost. So I have been studying this and studying this and studying this, and after a period of time, I realized that half the time, these people have no idea that they're dead. That's a revelation. Some of them are grieving so much that they don't realize that they have died and need to move on. And some of them are really angry, and some of them are so profoundly guilty that they don't feel that God could ever love them. And this would be true depending on how a person died. And this is also true for people who went to church, you know, two or three times a week and twice on Sunday. Some very Christian people. I mean, they discovered that this transcended all faith. People of all religions all over the world have seen ghosts. And these people are not crazy. And we shouldn't decide that they should be drugged because they are hearing a voice or seeing something out of the corner of their eye. They need to be allowed to express what they're seeing, and there need to be tools. And so over a period of time, I created something called the Crossing Over Prayer, which is now in 9 languages, and I'm headed to Monument Valley next month, and I'm hoping to get it translated into Navajo as make my 10th language.
Wow.
So that anyone can take this prayer and walk into the house and say this prayer over and over. By themselves, you can ask for angels to be with you, but mostly what you're doing is you're asking for angels to be with this dead person and help them find the light. And one of the things that's said in this prayer are the terms right now. Because in the dimension of the dead, there is no time. So asking someone to leave means nothing because time has no meaning there. Without time and space, gravity doesn't exist. And without time and gravity, without space and gravity, time doesn't exist. So without those three elements, this is a really lost soul. So when you say, I want this done right now, it acts like a catalyst to prepare that soul and propel the soul into the heaven world. You create a light bridge. And my goal is to provide this tool to anyone who has a compassionate heart and wants to help the dead. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Well, and I think this is really great, and it's a foreign concept, and we're definitely going to delve into some of the reasons of why to use something like that. And you're right. I think a lot of people think, oh, well, I'll just sage or I'll just smudge and that'll take care of it. And matter of fact, a few weeks ago, I was out at the Matriarch Gathering in Chimney Rock, Colorado, near Durango. And I was out there, and there's a lot of Native American energy and a lot of people associated with some tribes there. And yeah, I mean, sage is great for cleansing the space as far as just lightening up the energy and you know, purifying it and bringing some positive energy in, like a cleansing. Like, but it doesn't actually remove, like a ghost energy. And that's a big separation. I'm glad you made that separation in there because you've got ghost energy and then you've got, like, negative energy that people are sending, you know, might be sending your direction or that you're holding on to because of fears and stress and tension and different things like that. So definitely two different things. Now, I'm hoping that maybe you can kind of shed some light, and you started to touch on some of it here, about what a ghost is and, you know, what, you know, how do they become a ghost, basically? What leads them to be a ghost versus somebody else who's died and passed?
Well, basically, we all become ghosts. There is no exception. When you leave the body, you can't go from the third dimension to the fifth dimension. You have to make the transition through the fourth dimension. And we know this because the 23rd Psalm, "Lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," well, that shadow, that valley is the fourth dimension. So there are some souls who understand that there is nothing to fear from death and that there is no learning in perfection, and as mortal beings, we are not perfect and God's still going to love us anyway. And we ask for the light, and the light appears, or the light just appears, and the person crosses over, and they leave their, quickly leave their loved ones behind, and they cross over into the heaven world from the fourth dimension, and that can take place in a matter of moments. Once in the fifth dimension, they can actually turn around and help their loved ones with grieving. It's really quite remarkable. Lingering in the fourth dimension doesn't help anyone. So that is a very, very small percentage of people. I would say 95% of the rest of the souls who die linger, which is part of the reason that there's so many problems on Earth. So a person dies. Let's say they're in an automobile accident. They're driving 1 minute, and the next minute they're dead. They don't necessarily realize that. A soldier in battle is still fighting that battle. A person who dies in a tornado thinks they're still cowering in that bathtub. They're still there, and they don't understand that they probably have been there for 20 or 30 years. I cleared an antique mall in Indiana a couple months ago, and I cleared the ghosts that are always around antique shops. It really cracks me up with ghost hunters, because if you really want to find ghosts, go to an antique shop, go to a hospital, go to a morgue, go to a funeral parlor. Pretty much you're going to find lots of ghosts, but antique shops really have them. So I cleared the more recent ghosts, and then I went back through stacks of time, and there was a young girl there from the early 1800s, when Indiana was more of a territory, it was not a state, and this young girl had died in a tornado. Massive tornado had hit that area. She'd been there for over 200 years, waiting for her parents to find her after the tornado, just standing there in shredded clothing and her hair all awry. She had no idea she was dead. She was still cold. She was bewildered. She was about, I don't know, 12. And so by offering to help her, she was also then able to reconnect with her family, whom she'd been waiting to see for 200 years. But that's my concept of 200 years for time. For her, it's only been a few moments. And now there's peacefulness. And another important reason to move ghosts on, ghosts carry with them a black sooty element. If your house is haunted, it will never feel clean. I don't care how much you clean. I don't care if you're obsessive compulsive. It will never feel clean to you if it's haunted. And that's because I call it psychic soot. They leave this soot behind them. And one woman who was fascinated with the crossing over prayer when she discovered it, and she asked me if a ghost could cause a family to have arguments. And I said, absolutely, because you're sharing several people are sharing the same space in the same time, separated by dimension and centuries. And so you have a collision. So you're standing in the same space as a person who died in the 1800s or the early 1900s. And so you have a difficulty there. It's almost like you have a mental physics problem, but it's accounted for because of the fourth dimension. So every night that her husband, who's a doctor, would come home, she discovered that she could say this prayer and it cleared her home. Well, her husband's a doctor, and he was coming home with ghosts every night, and they fought every night. So he would come home and change clothes. When he went into the bedroom, she said the crossing over prayer, and all their fights stopped. Her house felt clean. And she was very pleased with herself because she's doing great spiritual service for those souls night after night after night. I have real estate agents that clear houses, and they're able to close the deals on those houses because they can actually move the dead on.
Yeah, that's really – I've worked in the real estate industry, and I've noticed that in the past. You could tell what was happening, you know, whether a house was moving or not moving, and you could have these amazing places, great prices, and they just sat there on the market. And, yeah.
I did a real estate seminar for some of the top 20 agents in the country, and these people sell roughly 40 to 60 houses a year. That's a lot of houses, and they're in the million-dollar range. And I made this presentation discussing how to clear these houses, being very practical, some of the other more interesting tools that I'll get to. And without exception, every single real estate agent said, yeah, we've all had those houses. We know there's somebody there. So I said, guys, here's a crossing over prayer. It's free. It's on the website. Put it on your iPhone. Put it in your notes. Whatever you want to do, say that prayer. Help that soul. And I said, if that family knows that it's their family member, ask their permission. And, you know, let's get these people some help. It helps the earth. When ghosts walk the earth, it's a burden. One of the problems that I hear so many times is people will say, well, I don't want to let my mom go or my daughter go, or I don't want to let them go. And I think you're mean to tell me I need to release them.
I've clients like, but I don't want to let them go, and I don't want to, yeah. I like having them around. They'll say that.
Right. They're not doing any harm. And I would offer you and anyone and all of your listeners that whether or not you feel the ghost is or isn't bothering you isn't the point. At some level, it has to stop being about you and being about what that soul needs. And that soul needs the light, the love, and the compassion of the heaven world. They also need their DNA healed. If they have had a terrible illness, could be a physical illness, could be a mental illness. Suppose they committed suicide. Well, that soul is still in a great deal of emotional turmoil. Suppose that soul was murdered. That soul needs the deep and abiding compassion they're going to receive in the heaven world. And let me assure you, they are not receiving it with you keeping them close by. And again, I had severely criticized for this. Just because you move your loved one on doesn't mean you love them less or they love you less. In fact, those families that step up to the courageous plate and help their loved one cross over find that they feel lighter, that they get subtle messages that their loved one is happier. And this relative or friend or neighbor that's moved on into the heaven world can send prayers back to the living. They receive guidance. They receive healing. They receive love. Isn't that the compassion each of us would want for ourselves?
Well, and you mentioned this earlier, too, as far as once they've crossed over, they can come back and visit. You know, they can be there. But it's different. They're coming from this other space. They're coming from this space of light and love and everything like that. But I don't think any of us, you know, I think if we equated some of the aspects of the fourth dimension, I don't think any of us would like to be shut away someplace with no light, no contact with people, no ability to find anything that's familiar for you, not understanding why nobody can hear you, nobody will talk to you, nobody will do anything for you. I mean, if you were just locked, it'd be like being locked up in a cold, dark dungeon someplace.
That's exactly what it would be like. You would feel as if you had been abandoned and forgotten. And sometimes you have to love another person enough to let them leave. And there is a feeling of attachment. And this is an element of grieving. When you are deeply and profoundly attached to someone you love, and they leave before you decide they should have left. If you have a grandmother, you loved her, and she died at the age of 110, you can still miss her, but there's a part of you that has emotionally begun to let go because she lived a really full life and you got to have time with her. But let's say that your child dies at the age of 6. Your husband died and you've been married 2 years. Your mom dies right before your first child is born. All of these things mean you want to hold on to that person because part of you feels cheated. You didn't get to have enough time with them. So your grief is really severe. Now, let's magnify this by understanding that how a person died is also going to play a huge factor in how you grieve. However, you can mitigate a certain percentage of your grief if you can help that soul cross over. I've helped several parents help their children cross over who died. It's very moving. I had one child who drowned beg me to talk to her mom. And I said, I can do this. She says, no, I've got to talk to my mom one more time. And she was 2. And she drowned. And when she talked to her mother, and I arranged it so that the mother could hear the child. I did not hear it. And I knew that this was the real thing because the mom, who didn't believe me at all but went along with it to humor me, the mom wasn't even aware there are these big salty tears rolling down her cheeks. Her eyes are closed and she can see her daughter. And her daughter says, please forgive me, Mommy. I've been waiting all this time to get you to forgive me. I did this to myself. I knew I wasn't supposed to go back in the water, and I did this to myself. Can't you please forgive me? She was 2. And the mother was then able, with a little guidance, to bring in an angel to say this prayer, and she watched her child leave with an angel, and there's this brilliance, this beautiful energy. And then there was this peacefulness, this peaceful feeling of, it's like after this amazing rain shower, you know how that air feels so wonderful?
Yeah.
I can only imagine that because we don't have much rain in California. And she looked at me, and she'd been Miss Skeptical before this event, and she said, I'm speechless. And she said, I cannot believe how much better I feel. Families don't believe they'll feel better. They can't. They think I'm making it up or I'm trying to trick them, and I'm not. You feel better, and your loved one feels 1,000% better. It is huge.
Yes. And I think this is such a big thing, and you bring up a big point, and I was actually going over some things about this earlier in that sense that it's our own fear, it's our own ego, it's our own attachment that's holding them here a lot of times, and we do need to give that forgiveness to them. We do need to realize that it's going to be okay. And I think that I think it's hard because it's hard sometimes for humans to wrap their mind around what happens when we pass. It's an experience that's not in our consciousness. We can understand it intellectually for those that have actually studied it, but it's not an experience that we have to go by. So our human self is letting that ego, it seems like, kind of take hold and try to attach and try to hang on. Because if the other person knows what's happening, they really don't want to be held back. Because it's kind of like holding back their progress as a soul.
That's exactly what it is, because you still earn karma in the fourth dimension. Once you cross into the fifth dimension, the clock stops. then you get to understand the life you just lived and how the karma you created affected this person and that person. Some people are afraid to know that, but no one judges you on the other side. The really sad truth is that I think only Buddhism really tells you what to do at death. Actually, they give you an entire dissertation on the elegant process of dying and how to exit the body. And most religions don't do that, most faiths. And so consequently, when people die, they're astonished to discover that they can still hear and still feel, and they are bewildered. They feel like no one prepared them for this. I hear this over and over and over. Nobody prepared me. I had no idea. And children do not know what to do at death. Children need guidance. They've always looked to an adult to guide them, and now there's nobody there. And that could be our job, is to help them to find their way, to find their way home. And if you think a big angel would be intimidating, ask for a child angel for your child. You have some options here.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, too, is those options that are available. And angels are, you know, these beings that are there to help us cross over, I would say angels, they can come in a lot of shapes and forms that are very non-threatening, to make it peaceful, to make it easy, to make it comfortable for that person. Have you run into experiences where a ghost has maybe seen the angel there, but they just don't know what it is, or they're not sure it's okay to go with that angel?
That happens frequently. I've had many a mom die, and the angel was there, and she couldn't go because she was guilty because she died, or she was guilty because she left her children, or she saw that light, she saw that angel, but she turned away because she felt like her job wasn't done or she died too early. I mean, I can go on, and there's a million reasons. But at the end of the day, the soul is left alone, and there's a loneliness there. And a lot of them feel cold, lonely, empty. They don't understand what's happened to them. They may see these shadowy figures, again, especially true for children. And I encourage any parent who has lost a child to say this prayer, and say this prayer on behalf of your child and any other children who were lost. I've had people who had little kids come to them and want them to be their mommy because they can't find their mommy. And actually, when I've gone to move the child on, I could not find the child's mother either. Either she was still living, it was probably why I couldn't find her, or she crossed over herself.
Hmm.
So I also see souls. I was in Brazil in March, and I had been there. I was in Brazil in 2012 and 2013, and I bought some amethyst, and I met a jeweler there. And when I walked into the shop, this couple had the most beautiful stones, and I looked at this beautiful amethyst, and I'm so distracted because I can see these two people standing behind the woman, the jeweler. And I said, I mean, I've talked to this woman for 5 minutes, and I said, did somebody close to you die recently? I mean, it seems like there's somebody with you. This may sound really strange, but somehow I think you know exactly what I'm talking about. And she said, yep, it's my parents. I'm not ever letting them go. Yep, they're with me, and I am holding on.
Hmm.
And her parents are standing behind her begging me to get her to let me go, let them go. And she said, do you think I should release them? And I said, I really do. I really think this would be a great thing for you to do. She said, nope, I'm not letting them go. Like, okay, well, there you go. So I go back the next year and stop by this jeweler because they're really nice people and they have really pretty things. And so I could see these people are still standing there, and I brought in a pair of angels, and I said, you still have free will in the fourth dimension. Here are the angels. you can choose to go with them or not, but I can't cross you over. This isn't my property. You aren't my parents. I don't have jurisdiction. And so my feeling is they crossed over, but I couldn't go any farther than that.
Wow.
So I'm careful to obey spiritual law.
And that's, you know, that aspect of respect, we forget that a lot, that there is this sort of respect, there is this integrity that needs to be done with this type of work or when you're dealing with these energies in there. And these are some of the pieces that you're bringing up to know that that there is still free will on the fourth dimension, that you can give them that option, and that was a way to work around somebody that was holding on to them in that situation. But, yeah, you can't just come in and intrude. That's kind of like saying, well, okay, I'm going to come in and I'm going to take your parents away or your child away now. And, you know, it's too much of a shock in those situations, I think, for people. You mentioned something earlier about when ghosts are lingering and they haven't crossed over, it puts a burden on the earth. And can you explain that a little bit more?
A ghost that has not crossed into the heaven world still creates a pressure for the earth. For instance, if you think about it, if you went to a battlefield and you know these guys are still, especially on the East Coast, you have a lot of Civil War battlefields or a place where a lot of people died, there is an energy that then lingers, and it's a toxic energy. I don't care how sweet somebody was. If they are a dead person and they are haunting a location, the energy of that person is toxic by definition. That toxicity creates an energy field wherever they are. For instance, you know good and well, if you went to a concentration camp museum place in Germany, you would not want to build your house there. You don't have to believe in psychic things or not. There's a part of you that knows they're still there. I mean, I've moved a lot of them on, but I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I've done it all. You know that that energy still lingers, the energy of suffering, the energy of pain. And when you have multiple people suffering that, that's enormous. I had someone recently who, someone who used the prayer, a man had committed suicide. And he went to a friend of mine and said, can you please help me? I need to cross over. I'm so sorry I did this. I didn't know there were alternatives. So she crossed him over. Well, the difference it made for this man's, you know, wife and children was tremendous. All of a sudden, this darkness that had been lingering around their house seemed to vanish, and they found they were able to heal so much more. It makes a difference for the earth. And I'll give you one of the most profound examples of predecessor energy. During World War II, the Nazis bombed Russia. It was Russia then. It wasn't Soviet Union. It was Russia. And they bombed an orphanage. And all those children died. And, of course, there was no one to help them. There were a lot of children died in this orphanage. Well, I think it was 1986 or 1989, I can't remember the exact date, the world will remember that Chernobyl had a meltdown, and Chernobyl was built on the exact location of this bombed-out orphanage. So when you have a negative predecessor energy, it attracts something negative that will be built on it or next to it or nearby it. So you can begin to see in very practical examples how negative predecessor energy can really affect a location.
I would imagine that when we start to look at things from that perspective, that it can also explain a lot of the things that are happening in our world today, be it natural disasters or arguments and wars and famines and different things like this that are going on, because anytime you've got that toxicity level, I mean, it's not as if we don't have enough going on with GMOs and things like that, but it's going to, that energy is going to affect your soils. That's going to affect your trees. It's going to draw in things that are damaging and destructive.
Exactly. And Native Americans understood how this energy works. And there's a house in, I think it's Iowa, some flat state, anyway, that has a Villisca murder house. It's in Villisca, is it Illinois or Iowa? I can't remember. And 6 people were murdered in this house one hot, steamy night in June and right at the turn of the century. And apparently Native Americans knew that this particular location was really toxic, because they looked at the signs that nature gave them, such as if you have a large number of stinging, vicious insects. For instance, if you go into the woods and you see a hornet's nest, well, you know that the intersection of the grid lines of the earth are toxic in that location. If you see a lot of stinging or nettle-like plants, again, or poisonous plants that are in that location, they will follow the energy of a grid line. So now if you build your house on that grid line because you didn't pay attention to what was going on in nature, now you have a house that's going to be, let's say, a lower frequency or vibration and have a higher probability of negative things happening. So if then something negative happens in that house, it eventually gets torn down and somebody else builds there. Now you have the perpetuation of something that's really, really negative. So that's how either not paying attention to nature or harming nature or perpetuating a tough place can affect you long term. It's just kind of, the Chinese call this predecessor energy. It's one of the basic tenets of feng shui.
Wow. And it is, it's something that we don't think about, and it's, as you say, you know, there's so many places where there's mass things happening when we look at the war zones and different things. I mean, you even take, you know, places that have been hit and nuclear places or volcanoes that come down and wipe out a whole village or these different things. And it is, it's very intense, and I know what you're talking about in that sense because I've been back to some of the Civil War areas and been through those areas, and it's just incredibly intense around there. Pennsylvania, I know, is one of the most haunted states in the U.S., and people just don't move it on, you know. It's just, and we do definitely need to, And of course, when we're looking at these times where we have so many other things influencing things as well that are not helping us, it becomes even more critical, I would say, to move these energies on and to allow these spirits to cross over, because we've got to get the weight off of the earth. We've got to get the toxicity out of the earth in the places that we can, and this is one way that we can do it. And in doing that, we could definitely probably make some bigger global shifts as well. With that, to bring more positive energy in as opposed to really high, strong, negative energies around. So that, I think that's just really fascinating and really interesting. And like I say, you know, learning to watch nature, I've always believed nature is such a great teacher. And if we really look at it, we can tell just about anything if we really understand it and pay attention to it. Now, I know one of the questions that probably a lot of people are going to have, Tina, that is out there is, you know, can a ghost either possess you or can a ghost hurt you? What are your thoughts on that?
Yes, a ghost can do all kinds of things. And, I mean, I think that's a really tremendous question. I mean, there's so many ways to answer that.
We got time.
Let's say that you have an individual who dies of a terrible cancer. I mean, there's actual documentation on this. And one of the, let's say that the person's caregiver has just been devoted to that person, and then the person dies. And they, you know, they were grateful to their caregiver, and they feel so badly they were a burden, and so they linger around, and they stay so close to this living person. And a ghost can possess a living person. They can literally be inside of them. If that person's auric field, their immune system structure, is exhausted or depleted, and if you've been caring for someone with cancer for a lot of years, that can readily happen. Not as a bad, oh, my God, look what happened, but as a consequence, you know, simply of exhaustion. And so the person who died feels badly, so they stay close and want to comfort. Well, now the living person is in very much resonance with a dead person. The dead person died of this cancer. All of a sudden, the living person gets the same cancer. I've seen that happen repeatedly. You often see this with suicide. That's why people say, oh, my gosh, suicide is contagious, because the person who chose to leave consciously lingers and either feels guilty or wants to warn people and tries to warn other family members, and you will see other family members take their lives. So you end up with a tremendous downhill spiral. But it becomes even more fascinating than that. Ever wonder why drug addiction, especially alcohol, is so difficult to kick that habit? And there are two psychiatrists who have written about this, Dr. Raymond Moody and Dr. Bruce Goldberg. Because I want to point out to our listeners tonight that I am not the only one who has observed this. I'm one of many who has pondered why this is so hard. And we say, you know, alcoholism is a disease. Maybe it isn't a disease. Maybe it's something else. When you drink alcohol, it lowers your frequency. Everything in God's universe is a math formula. Everything. Everything in all the universe is some sort of a calculation. And that includes a human body, a living, mortal, third dimension residing human body. And that human body has a frequency. The higher your frequency, the less likely you are to really have any kind of a ghost possess you or have a problem with that. And the higher your frequency, the less likely you are to have accidents and illness. So, but let's say something happens to you. Let's say you have a terrible trauma and your frequency drops. We see this frequently with people who come back from war zones. They are suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, and their frequency has dropped dramatically. They're still in shock over so many things. They're still grieving the loss of military companions, other soldiers. And so they take that first drink. Their frequency now drops even lower to a point of despair. And David Hawkins has written a book called Power Versus Force, which is brilliant in its explanation of frequency. So your frequency drops. And so all of these dead alcoholics live at bars, where they're serving alcohol and beer and pubs and all these other places. That's where the alcoholics live, the ones who've died, because they're called hungry ghosts. They're so desperate to taste that drink one more time. So they can walk right into the body of an alcoholic or a person who's drinking heavily, and the conscious person kind of blacks out. And the dead alcoholic takes over the body, especially if it was a really dynamic personality. and the person becomes someone else. And you hear families say, you know, he becomes a different person when he drinks. Well, how does that happen? It's actually quite logical. Somebody possesses them. When they sober up, that ghost has to leave because the frequency comes back up. But the more you drink, the easier it is for these ghosts to come in and out. The same is true for heroin and cocaine and marijuana. But the worst thing on the planet is methamphetamine. You might be able to heal the rest, but methamphetamine connects you with the darkest reaches, not just of ghosts, but of extremely dark beings. I've had many families come to me and say, can you help my loved one? And I simply have to walk away because I cannot. And I am honest about what I can do and what I cannot do. And methamphetamine literally opens up a door to a place of darkness I cannot begin to describe. And if you don't avoid that person, even if it's someone you love, they'll take you down too. And if you have ever had a house where methamphetamine was used or manufactured, the house has to be leveled. The EPA has to come in because you cannot necessarily clear that house, not with anything conventional. It will be toxic for a very long time, very long time.
Wow. That's a, and I think that's so intense for people to think about, and it's something that we don't think about. And again, this is another reason to help people clear and to move on once they've passed because of these very things and these negative vibrations. And so, you know, part of how we can avoid some of those issues is simply by learning how to keep our vibrational levels in a higher space, which comes from being in your heart center, being in loving, compassionate energy. Meditation can help some of that, visualization and things like that, to raise our energy up. It's really fascinating. Now, and it does explain a lot. I think it does explain a lot there and things. And I think these are things that, yeah, we kind of maybe have an awareness of, maybe don't, but they're, we've sensed them at some point. What about people getting hurt by ghosts? Because I know that that's something that concerns a lot of people, too. A lot of people think, well, they're just harmless and there's, you know, they're not really doing anything, leave them alone. But what about the ones that, you know, we see these stories or, you know, they have the shows out there and the claims out there that, you know, there's scratches on the back or whatever it is. What is your take on that?
Those things absolutely do happen. Those people are not crazy and they didn't make it up. I had one woman, this is a story very close to me. There was a little girl who wanted, she was dead, she was about 5, and she wanted this woman to be her mom, but the woman was living and the little girl was dead. And the living mom had a little girl the same age. And so this dead little girl started to stab the living child in the back at night, and she would wake up with all these little tiny pricked stab marks on her back. And the mom looked for someone to help her for 18 months. And in the space of, you know, a few minutes, we were able to move the this little ghost on. And, of course, then we heard her story, and, you know, you feel really sad for her. But she had no way to explain her daughter's terror at being able to see this ghost and feel this ghost harming her at night. And, you know, I made some suggestions, and I had many people with children who say, I'm afraid of the dark. And the suggestion I would make is to put a green light bulb in your room. I mean, it's coming up to be Christmas time, and those old-fashioned big old green lights that went, used to be part of the lights on a Christmas tree, those, and then you'd put them in your nightlight socket. Put a green light bulb in a closet and put it in your child's room. And the frequency of green, everything's frequency, it shifts the energy of the room enough that a ghost cannot enter. You can play the music of Mozart. It's the highest frequency in the known world. There's a lot of New Age music that's wonderful, but if you're not sure, use Mozart, and you don't have to hear it. The vibration of Mozart will enter the space again. It shifts the frequency. Spray the room with sweet orange oil. It will not get rid of a ghost, but it creates a clean, higher frequency. And I'm discussing frequency, so let's look at this a different way. If you are in Wisconsin in January, you would not walk outside in a bra and panties because you'd freeze to death. So what do? You wear a bra and panties, and you wear long underwear, and then you wear heavy jeans, and then you wear a turtleneck sweater, and then you wear, you know, a couple of outer garments and gloves and a hat and your Uggs and whatever you're wearing. You have layer upon layer upon layer upon layer, and you can withstand the cold for a long period of time. You can be robust. You can function. Well, that's what happens when you raise your frequency. You're not going to be out in Wisconsin in your underwear. You're going to have layers of protection, and that's what Mozart does, and that's what the green light does, and that's what sweet orange oil does. And sweet orange oil protects your auric field. If you want to spray your linens at night, you put about 10 drops of sweet orange oil and about, about a couple tablespoons or, you know, a quarter of a cup of water. You spray the room with a little spray bottle. Spray the pillow with the, or do the same thing with lavender oil. And what that does is you're breathing it in, instantly raises your frequency, clears your mind, clears your head. And it softens any sadness in your heart. I have hundreds of essential oils. I mix them, a few drops of each of them, with castor oil as my carrier oil. Put it on your feet at night. Your feet are your absolute critical foundation in life. People go, well, I don't want to put as expensive oils on my feet. Your feet are the template for your entire body. When you cover the bottoms of your feet with essential oils, and it's amazing how you can keep your kids healthy through the winter and flu season if you do that with small children, and they sleep better at night and they're happier because you have built their foundation up stronger. So, you know, a good night's sleep, happiness, don't do anything negative before you go to sleep. All of those things will keep ghosts out of your room. And if you feel like you have darknesses, make sure that you're not doing tarot cards. You're not doing Ouija. You're not doing anything that's divination, and you're not doing Dungeons and Dragons. All of those things drop frequency, all of them.
Interesting. And, because I think there's a lot of people that would not feel that some of those things drop energy, based on how they're using them, or they would differentiate how they're using them. But what people forget is that even when you go in with a pure heart with some of these things, that you are opening portals of energy and that you are opening some of these doors, and that can open to positive and negative in there.
That's absolutely an understatement. The problem with tarot cards, and I think there will be a lot of people who will be angry with me at least with this, and, I mean, they can go ahead and be angry. The truth of the matter is, if you're on a spiritual path, what do you need them for? Really. Mm-hmm. There are an old-time crutch that if you're on a spiritual path and you're connecting to the higher beings, you do not need those things, because the truth is, I know very few tarot card readers who do any due diligence to figure out who's giving them that information.
Right.
And since you can't do any due diligence, you don't really know who it's coming from, and you don't know how you have to pay them back. They will exact their price from you no matter what. No matter what, they will get their price out of you, and you don't get that information for free. And when you connect to your higher self and the divine, they don't send you a bill. They don't. And
right.
If you're using tarot cards Burn them. Watch how hard they are to burn. Get them out from under your bed and by your nightstand, which is where most people keep them. Let those things go. If you're a true light worker, what need of you for those things? Christ didn't need them. The true people who are doing the really good work, the Dalai Lama doesn't need them. Mother Teresa worked her heart out. She didn't need those to see the future. Let's go back to Yehuda Berg and what you read tonight. I thought that was brilliant. If you can use the, you can look into the future and see that if I'm doing these wonderful things, what need of I have those things that might have I might have used in the past? I am awakening to enlightenment, and I am free to let them go. And I am awakening to the energies of the divine, and I don't need those things anymore.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was interesting because in my studies and my training of things, I was always taught that if I was to use a tool along the way, and that I was always to check the validity of the information and to tune in and know where that energy was coming from. And they're not something for people to play with, like a lot of people, you know, think of them as being games and things like that there. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, an eye-opener for people because they forget these various things. And they forget that if you're dealing with a negative energy and the negative energy is coming through, they're not going to tell you the truth. If you ask, are you a benevolent energy, the ones that are really negative are going to say, oh, yeah, I'm benevolent, you know. So I think that that's the different things that people are not thinking about sometimes with those factors and with those insights there.
Well, I recently had an antique shop owner call me, and she said, I just want you to clear my antique shop. And I said, well, I can clear your antique shop for, you know, a good few minutes, and then the very next time you bring a new antique in, it's going to go back to the way it was. And anybody who tells you different isn't telling you the truth. I don't want to take your money. I mean, I can give you some tools to clear it now and then yourself, but I don't want you to think that I can make it permanent. And then I said, do you own a tarot card deck? And she said, yes, but it's at home. I don't use it. It's not influencing me. And I said, I need to be really honest. I can't take your money if you own a deck and you won't get rid of it. Because you're opening a door. You have no idea who's walking through. And unfortunately, you're opening up this door. And more than just the dead coming with the antiques are coming in. And so it's dishonest of me to take your money unless you're willing to give up your cards. And she wasn't willing to do that. So,
and it's interesting because then you start to get into some of the other aspects of what we hang on to for various reasons. And whether we want to admit it or not, you know, we're extraordinarily attached sometimes to something that we need to be able to let go of. Like you say, you
absolutely.
Know, as you reach a
and
certain...
Let me assure you, the intelligences that connect to those tarot cards are not going to want you to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
They are very possessive of human souls.
Mm-hmm.
You're in charge, but that's an illusion. The only time you're really in charge is when you're connecting to the divine and you're asking for help. And then it's not so much about being in charge as it is about embracing a partnership. Then you have something really beautiful.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, that's such a good point. And, again, like you say, it's not necessarily going to be favorable with some people out there, and that's okay. And I know for myself, you know, that again, I was trained of certain ways to deal with things, but at the same time, I also know in my progression that you know, I don't have to rely on anything like that. Because you learn how to read what's there. You learn how things function in the world. You learn how energy works, and none of it's reliant on the tools.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can be independent. You can be really independent. And that would be my hope for people, is that they can look at their spiritual path and say, you know, I learned a great deal using these tools and these cards, and I don't really need them anymore. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, it can be really, really liberating. And again, it just kind of helps us realize as humans where some of our crutches are along the way, I think, in that whole process. Tina, do you have maybe a story that you would like to share? I know you shared a couple of them along the way that just maybe really sticks out for you, or is a favorite, or really brings a point home for you.
I have several favorites. This one is Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View. And it is the story of a woman who, I'll tell you how I met her. I got a call to come to her house, and she said, I know my house is haunted, and this is a house in Virginia Beach. And this woman works for, you know, a big company, and, you know, she doesn't necessarily advertise that she has, like, a haunted house. But then 2 out of 4,000 battles in the Civil War took place in Virginia. So Virginia had well over half of all Civil War battles took place there. So she said, I just know my house is haunted. So, okay. So I, you know, start to work on her house, and I can tell that there's a woman there, and then I'm convinced there's a woman there, and I'm looking at this woman, and she says, what took you so long? You know how long I've been waiting for you? And I'm looking around like, are you talking to me? And she says, yes. Come on, we've got work to do. And we go outside, and there's this raging battle in the Civil War. And she's got blood all over her clothes. Her hair is a mess. She's got these long, you know, clothes on, this long dress down to her black high-topped boots, and she says, you have to help me with these men. And I'm looking around, it's like, there are hundreds of men. And she said, I know. These people have no idea that they're dead. You have got to help me. And I said, and you know you're dead. She said, yes, of course I know I'm dead. They don't. I've been waiting here all this time for someone to help me, to help them cross over, because they still think they're fighting this battle. And look at them. They're covered in blood. They're dead. They just don't know it. And so I said, absolutely, we'll get to work right away. So we bring in an entire team. And that's something else. If you think there's a lot of ghosts, you have the power to bring in an entire team of angels. You can ask for 100 angels if you want. Believe me, angels... Let me close this door. The dogs behind me are barking. Maybe they're seeing the angels. I don't know. You can bring in an entire team of angels. And angels get to evolve the more they help those of us on Earth. So don't ever be afraid to impose on an angel and ask an angel to help you. And so we started making arrangements. We brought these men in, and we gave them it's actually a spiritual food, but they don't know that. It's something that nourishes them, and we put these wonderful, warm, healing blankets. And you'll see this reference to blankets in every story. And when you have a person who's died a horrific death, especially in war, they were murdered, or they were in a terrible accident, or they took their life, that's a lot of trauma to the body. So when you're able to put this blanket around them, that blanket instantly shifts their frequency, which means their transition so much easier. And as soon as this blanket touches the spirits of the energy of their own shoulders, there's a part of the soul that relaxes. It's like, I'm safe now. It causes the soul to feel safe. It's like if you're really cold or you got drenched and somebody puts this blanket around your shoulders, you feel like, one, someone cares about you. Two, you're going to be okay. You're not alone. And three, you can begin to heal now. And as soon as that blanket touches the shoulders of these soldiers, and I can tell you what side they're on, and I really don't care. They're just men dying. And then they are able, they brighten. Instead of this horrible, dull gray color, they brighten, and they feel better. And then, you know, I give a nod to the angel, and they start crossing them over one by one. And we moved hundreds that day. And then I turn to Helen, and I can see all these bullet wounds in her body, and it's sad. It's just, and I said, so you've known for 160 years you were dead. And she says, has it been that long? Tell me, did the war ever end? Did things get better? I love this country, and it's been torn in half. Good men fighting each other. It breaks your heart. I mean, to have a firsthand account of what her hope was when the Civil War ended was really poignant. She said, I want to know that the United States stayed together. I want to know that we're okay and that it got to be successful and that, you know, we became brothers again and we could heal. And I said, I can assure you that although this country has had its ups and downs, that the country did heal, some places faster than others, but yes, we did. And that the sacrifice of women such as Helen Stanton were just nothing short of remarkable. And I brought a special team in just for her with a really, really special, gorgeous blanket because she really earned it. She's my hero. Even in death, her service didn't cease. She could have just crossed over, but she waited for them. She waited for someone to help them. That's a lot of service. That's really powerful. So she's one of my favorite stories.
Yeah, and I do feel like that is a really powerful thing, that those aspects, and we don't see it. And for these people, for example, in those situations, they're going on and on. It's almost like a Groundhog Day. They just keep going through certain things over and over again in some ways, in some of those situations, I would imagine, while others are probably, as you mentioned, these ghosts still have thoughts and feelings and things in the fourth dimension. And, you know, they're probably wondering, you know, why aren't these people seeing me and why aren't they doing anything and who are these people in my house? And, you know, it's got to just be extremely confusing.
Well, it's ironic that the living homeowner who called me was very pleased that she knew this soul was wonderful, but she felt that she was like, I knew it was time to help her. I just knew it was time. And so I certainly rogered for that. And I said, she is one of the most memorable souls. I mean, I've crossed over millions and millions of souls. Somehow when I'm there, people come from, they come from a long way. So it's millions of them. And she's one of my most memorable favorite souls. I mean, there's some pretty evil people that you also cross over. But, it's a difficult situation.
Mm-hmm. And that's got to be tough, too, I would imagine, when you're dealing with some pretty evil, so to say, ones that you're trying to cross over.
Exactly. When you have to deal with a very dark person, a murderer, what you find sometimes, and this is hard, is that that murderer, a lot of times, is still holding on to, let's say, his murder victims. And so a lot of times a murder victim has a very difficult time crossing over because he, or, you know, the victim is still being held by the dead murderer. And one of the other things that happens is Edgar Casey talks about this. He tells the story of a woman who came to see him, and she said she was having neck pain. And he looked at her in horror because Casey could see them too. And there is this woman was living. She was not dead. She came to Edgar Casey as a living person and said, I feel like I have this problem in my neck. And he looked at her and he said, I see this man with a knife and he's stabbing you in the neck. And she said, oh, that must be the man who tried to murder me. And then she told the story of a jilted lover. And she didn't actually jilt him for somebody else. She had to take care of her mom, and she chose not to marry him because she felt she couldn't be fair to him. And so he stabbed her 25 times, and she lived. And he was in an accident and was trampled to death. And as soon as he died, he came back at her, and over the years had been trying desperately to kill her.
Wow.
So when if I were to see someone like that, and I have seen souls like that, they're pretty chilling. You have to remember that they're dead and you're not, and fear is not your friend. So bring in the spiritual police. Isn't that a great term? I'm requesting the spiritual police to help me with this toxic soul right now. And you ask that toxic ghost be surrounded, and please take this soul to the appropriate realm. And you're done. No fear, no fuss, no mess. It's just a really simple thing. So those are some tools that you can use.
I think that that's great because I think there are some of those fears, and I do know of some people that have lived through dealing with some pretty negative spirits and energies, and it is hard, and it can be chilling, and I think at any point. So I would say that is there any particular thing that would indicate to somebody that they have a haunting going on? We talked a little bit about nature. I imagine that we kind of sense, as you've mentioned, maybe things being moved around the house or people's personalities flipping that are in the house or things like that.
Yes, there are all kinds of signs. Sometimes you can smell something, and they're really hard to get rid of. If you smell, we first moved into this, we have a big house in San Diego, and we would smell candles, you know, birthday candles burning in the hallway. Well, we were the second owner, and there was no house ever before us on this property. So we're on a granite mountain, so I couldn't imagine what that was. And then I smelled pipe tobacco in another room. And those were ghosts, and this was before I actually knew how to cross them over. So, and it's random. Sometimes you'll have that feeling. You feel like you're not alone. You feel as if you see this dark shadow out of the corner of your eye. You feel as if you are, you feel as if someone's watching you. You don't feel like you can really share this with anyone. Things disappear. Doors close. One of the most unnerving, though, is seeing someone out of the corner of your eye because you doubt yourself. You notice your house never feels really clean. You have arguments. A lot of times you'll have a lot of problems with water. your toilet leaks, your kitchen sink leaks, you have problem water your water pump goes in your car, you'll have a leak in your hose, your toilet will overflow, you can have so many. Sometimes water problems are just emotions coming to the surface. But if you have that combined with other elements of having a ghost there, or your animals, you know, look in a certain direction, or it looks like your animals are following something, or a friend of mine's 8-month-old, you know, was playing, and she looked up like someone called her name, crawled over, pulled herself up on her, you know, little play zone, and starts chattering wildly to thin air. This is a pretty savvy mom, and she figured out that there was a ghost in her house. And so she said, "Gee, can you help me?" And there was a mother and daughter who'd been killed. And they saw this, you know, living mother and daughter at the commissary and followed her home. Well, she's so savvy about her home, and she was so connected to her daughter, she knew she had a ghost.
Yeah.
And so since I removed her ghost, the mother and daughter ghost, the living child, she didn't react that way again. Animals can see them. Animals might cower, or they stare at a corner. That's not normal behavior. There's nothing in the corner. Animals are extremely logical. And animals don't know whether or not they're seeing something is supposed to be crazy. They just know what they see. And just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't there. You go into a room and it feels especially cold. You don't like to go into a certain place. There are grocery stores here. I won't go in because they're near where homeless are, and you see dead homeless haunting the alcohol aisle. I can feel them. Very strange.
Yeah.
So there are many, many ways to know that you have a ghost. And if you start saying this crossing over prayer, and it's free on my website, TinaIrwin.com, see if you can't help them. Some people get angry. Some people become very afraid. You're the living person. You really have a lot more power than you think. And if you use that power, I mean, you've got the superpowers here. You have the ability to help somebody find peace that they never thought they could find. To connect them, imagine that I'm sure we have some very spiritual people listening. We maybe have some very Christian people listening. And I would offer you the greatest gift you could give someone who's died is to connect them to the heaven world, to Christ, to all the wonderful beings who are there.
Yeah, and I think that's very true. That is one of the greatest gifts that we can. And when we think about it, I mean, we really want them to have that bliss and that peacefulness and that heaven energy and that divine space. We want them to know that blissful experience that we know is out there. And so they can't do that as long as we're holding on. They can't do that as long as we're not willing to help them cross or pass over or move through. So I think that all of those things are definitely very, very important. Tina, I want to give you a few minutes here to go ahead and plug your books, plug your work, let people know how they can get hold of you. You mentioned that anybody can use this crossing over prayer. It's available free when they go to your website at TinaIrwin.com, and that's TinaIrwin.com. That's also at the bottom of our show description. And I'll let you share the rest.
Thank you so much. I want to thank you all for listening tonight. And with all my heart, I would ask you to open your heart to those souls who have died, who may not know they're dead, and who may need your help to find the light of the heaven world. That's what light work is all about. Swallow your fear. Turn on all the lights in your house if you're going to say the prayer. You don't need to light a candle or do anything. You don't need to turn in circles 3 times. Just say this prayer with a sincere heart. And it doesn't matter how long ago someone died. It doesn't matter how they died. It doesn't matter whether you liked them, whether you hated them. What matters is that you helped them. And that is a karmic action that you are taking that will have long-term ramifications, because that soul will be better. And every one of us who is better, who is improved, who heals, helps all of us to be better, to improve, and to heal. If you're grieving someone that you lost, I have a book, The Lightworker's Guide to Healing Grief, which addresses some of the peripheral elements of grief. If you want to understand how karma works in so many of these situations, The Lightworker's Guide to Everyday Karma gives you kind of a different view of how it works. Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View explains some of the physics behind what causes a ghost, what it's like to be dead, and how you can help. And all of the 21 stories in that book will cause you to see life differently beyond the veil. And hopefully, when it's your turn to make the transition from the third dimension to the fourth, you're going to give that short shrift to the fourth dimension and slip happily into the fifth. If you see anybody you know, you can take them with you. I deeply appreciate the opportunity Jesse's given me tonight to share this information with you. The more we help one another, the more we help living and dead, the better earth we will have in every way. Maybe we can't change some horrendous wrong we see, but what we can do in the moments we do have can make a lasting difference more than we could ever know. Jesse, I want to thank you for the work you do, and thank you with all my heart for having me on your show tonight.
Tina, it's always such a blessing to have you here, and I want to add in there as well that oftentimes if you are dealing with a ghost in your property or that has been following you around, because sometimes they do that as well, to remember that they're not always there trying to scare you, but that they're seeking your help because they are lost and they are confused and they're needing assistance, and it is a type of healing that we deal with. And hopefully you'll be willing to turn to that prayer or to contact somebody who can do it or contact Tina and let her know, you know, I've got this, I'm comfortable or I'm not comfortable with this. Can you help? And let her know and get that help that you need, because we need to lighten the energy on this earth and we need to open up the vibration. And this is part of emergence, and this is part of us raising the vibration so that we can bring a more enlightened way of being and existing even into this third dimension. And so she brings up those great points, and Tina, just an absolute blessing to have you share this information, because I think it is something that is so distorted at times and so confused by people at times and so misunderstood by a lot of people. And so I thank you as well.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And
how we
next
help
week,
each other.
Yes. And next week here on the show, I have Maria Hoagland, and she's going to be discussing her work with death and bereavement. We're going to be actually discussing dealing with the loss of those that have passed on and preparing for those that are ready to transition and how to provide healing in these situations. So we're going to kind of continue through with this theme since we have Halloween here and All Saints Day or All Souls Day upon us. And this is an area, another area that we don't get to talk a lot about, that we don't hear enough about, and there is that combination. You know, if Tina mentioned that we have the ghosts to deal with and to move on, but we also have our own pain that we need to let go. We also have our own emotions as living beings that are still here to deal with. And so we're going to be looking at some of those things, and I think this is going to be very valuable and very important, because with the holidays coming on, it's a very sensitive time, and people are more prone to As Tina said, you know, if you're drinking and things like that, you're more prone to open up to some of those energies. And also, we're more prone to remember those that have moved on and to tune into them. So I think that that's going to be a very, very useful show for us to learn from her. And she has such a bright, interesting perspective on things. As I've mentioned, my books on relationships have been released, and you can find links to check those out and purchase them on my website at jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com/products. It's on the products tab there, and they're designed to help you activate the perfect relationship for you. And you will learn how to find, develop, and maintain your perfect relationship. You will learn how to understand what your partner is thinking, feeling, needing, and how to communicate in ways to strengthen your relationship and avoid drama. As a matter of fact, before this show tonight, I actually did an interview with Roxy Lopez on The Truth Denied, and it was a pleasure to be on her show, and we delved into the information in this set of books that that have just been released. So that is going to be going up on my website. It'll be coming up in our archives, and I've currently got a link into our website at the moment, but I'll get a more direct link in about another day or two. So that'll give you an opportunity to go in and really listen to that work even further. I'm working on putting together the next Compassion Tour, and you can stay on top of that, and other events that I have going on that are live events at jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And if you'd like to find out more about the work I'm doing with Compassion, connect with me, check out my blog, purchase products or services that I offer, find ways to connect with me, listen to archive shows, see the upcoming shows, watch video tips. Just released a video tip last week, and you can do all of that through my website as well, jessieannnicholsgeorge1.com. And there's also a great section on there for Main Street Universe where you can follow all of our hosts and catch upcoming shows as well as all of our archive shows and learn a little about the people that are part of the network here at Main Street Universe. And the information is all listed at the bottom of today's show description. And my books also are available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, Smashwords for ebook versions, and all of those things as well. And I see somebody asking, is the archive there? Yeah, there's going to be an archive of the show that I did with Roxy Lopez. It's actually under my media tab under radio on my website, and I have all of my archived shows, interviews that I've done are on that tab, and the archived shows for Main Street Universe, where I have the guest on, is on under the Main Street Universe tab under my name, so lots of options for finding that as well. The special I have running through the end of the month of October is you can purchase any online course during the month and receive a free ebook of Activating Compassion. And you can check out those courses at learnitlive.com/invite/JessieAnnNicholsGeorge. And I've actually added two big series of courses. I'm doing a series in compassion, and I'm also doing a series in relationships. And the relationship series will be based on the books I've just released, and the compassion series is based on my books, Activating Compassion. In addition to that, I also do things like moon cycles and celebrating the turning of the seasons of the year and other seasonal holidays like that. So those are on there. And those are ranging everywhere from right now about $10 to $50 for those things, depending on what it is. And if it's a course that's already happened, you can still purchase it as an archive. So it doesn't matter whether it's happened or not yet, or if you can't attend the time of it, you can still purchase it and you'll get the archive or recorded version of it. So that's a great thing with those courses. And then I also want to mention our producer, Daniel, is a songwriter and musician, and he's had some of his work up for review and consideration lately. And we're asking that, you know, if you're willing to lend a helping hand to him, support him by going ahead and going to songwriter.revimage, that's R-E-V as in victory, I-M-A-G-E.com, /channels, with an S on the end there, /Daniel+Michael+, and share his music. Just go ahead and click the little share icon there, and you can share it through Facebook or Twitter or wherever you wanted to share it through, and that's going to be happening through November 9th, and this is going to provide him a great opportunity to have his work recognized on some larger arenas. And I also want to mention this upcoming Wednesday on our flagship show, which is Wednesday nights. It happens at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We are actually going to have several of the guests, and as guests, not really as guests, but several of the network hosts here on that show, and we'll be doing different things with it and communing, because that is an anniversary show for us here on Main Street Universe. So you'll get a chance to have Daniel and Janice and Brett and me and Kevin, and, you know, we'll be kind of all a great big party coming through there. So come and join us on Wednesday night. And don't forget, I've also got a variety of other things that I do, like coaching services, integrated development services. My Quantum Energy Club is another option that's available there. And so you can check all those things out and find out more about them, again, through the website and eventbrite.com, jessieannnicholsgeorge.eventbrite.com. And don't forget, again, we've got several shows here on Main Street Universe throughout the week. Sunday nights is Darren Bucaire, who's a reader at Madame Laveau in New Orleans, doing spiritual insights. Monday nights is Kevin Baird walking on the sidewalk with his Horizon Oracle Journey deck, a deck that he created. And you can learn more about that at templeofgaia.com. Tuesdays is Susan Weed, who is sharing her work in herbs and natural plants. Wednesday nights we have our flagship show with Daniel, Janice, and Brett, and that's called Main Street Universe. And then on Thursdays we have Queen Mother Amaku, who looks at Egyptian culture. And, of course, Friday nights right here is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. And I just really want to thank everybody for being here. It's been a pleasure to have you here and sharing this information and learning about Tina's work and what all this energy about Ghost is. This is Jessie Ann Nichols George. Thank you so much for being here tonight, and I look forward to seeing you back here next week as we delve more into Activating Compassion. And don't forget, if you've enjoyed the show this evening, make sure you share it with others. It's going to be available right here at the same link in our archives. And I'm going to leave you tonight with the song Yearning For, also known as Over and Over by Shemshai, great little group that I met while I was in Arizona area. And thank you so much. I look forward to seeing you again next week right here on Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour. May you enjoy the rest of your weekend and have an amazing way.
And if I could see what makes me blind, I would soar to the edge of my mind. And to touch what seems unreal, just to show you the way that I feel. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change and size. And we are in tune with the caught in a balance of sun and moon. Oh, deep inside, the light within, shining to show you it's here to begin. When all I have is all I need, I will soar through the edge of eternity. Walk just a little bit slower, whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we reveal it. Once you are another, all will discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning, deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning. Thank you.
shall be received. And we see in eye to eye, one within love to be for the divine. And we're walking hand in hand, caught in the balance of God and man. And we are in time with time, one with the season of change in life. And we are in tune with the tune of life in circle and love in bloom. Over and over, like it's your lover, learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we reveal it. One to another, discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart is still yearning for. Over and over, life is your lover. Learning to walk just a little bit slower. Whispering secrets, I bet you can't keep it. No turning back now, this time we'll repeat it. One to another, all will discover the essence within the most beautiful lover. Time is still turning, the love is still burning. Deep in your spirit, your heart still yearning for. Yearning for.